Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this sermon is the gospel reading. The early church used items from the sea for symbols in early Christian artwork. The boat, fish, and anchor all came to have meaning to the early church. In fact, the part of the church where the congregation sits is called the nave, Latin word for boat. The boat was often used as a symbol of the church. One of the prayers in the baptismal rite refers to the Ark of Noah, a great big boat, which preserved Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. In today's gospel reading, we heard an account from Luke's gospel, which sheds some light on why the boat came to have a great deal of meaning to the church. Not only that, but we hear why being in the boat with Christ, even when it looks like it might sink, is the best place for us to be. This is because being in the boat with Christ, we have all we need. In the gospel reading for today, Christ calls the disciples into the boat. He teaches from the boat, and then he has the disciples put out nets from the boat and bring them in. Listen again. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus proclaimed the word of God from the boat, and then he had his disciples let out nets to catch fish. And what a catch of fish it was that the disciples pulled in at the word of the Lord. Luke writes, and Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. So many fish were caught that another boat had to be brought over. We see here that this shows us how the Church of God is built. The disciples go out onto open water. It's a dangerous and scary place in the ancient world. Storms could come, accidents could happen, and disaster on the water could very likely turn fatal. But yet the disciples do go out at the Lord's request, and the word of God is proclaimed. The boat reminds us of another boat, an ark, you could say, as in Noah's ark. However, this ark is the ark of the church. Christ is there with the disciples, and he ultimately keeps them from danger. Then the disciples follow the nets, full of so many fish, that they need a second boat. Here in the mention of the two boats, we have the two churches of the disciples, what Martin Luther identified as the Church of the Jews and the Church of the Gentiles. Many would be brought in and are still being brought in by the proclamation of the gospel to both Jew and Gentile. We are the fruit of that ancient and ongoing mission, being brought into the church by the preaching of the cross of Christ and our baptisms into Christ. Here we shall stay. We were in the dark, chaotic sea of the world around us outside. And at times the world does look menacing and scary, like a storm on the ocean. Yet we are now in the boat, in the ark of the church. Christ brought us in through the preaching of his death and resurrection, passed down from the apostles to us. Christ told his disciples they would be fishers of men. And just as they hauled in the nets with a great catch of fish, they built a church that reaches all over the world. Just as in Peter's boat, Christ is here with us, and we are safe. In fact, in the ark of the church, we are safe and cared for by Christ, in both body and soul. Earlier, we confessed our sins, as Peter did before Christ. Luke tells us, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." The disciples are shaken by what they have seen. They realize who is with them in the boat, God in human flesh, and it causes Peter to confess his own sin before Christ. Christ absolves Peter, telling him not to fear. He will go out and build the church, along with James and John, standing in the boat in awe. Christ absolves us for our sins, and he feeds us with his holy supper so that we might not fear. He strengthens us here in the boat of the church. Not only does Christ forgive our sins and strengthen our faith, but he cares for us in our bodily needs as well. At the end of the gospel reading, we heard, "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him." The disciples left all the fish, their entire stock of inventory, and they followed Christ. The catch of fish showed them that if they had Christ with them, they would be provided for in their needs of body and soul. We heard in the Old Testament that God called Elisha, a farmer, through the prophet Elijah, while Elisha was plowing the ground with the family oxen. Elisha, knowing he was being called, couldn't take care of 12 oxen if he left. So he sacrificed them to the Lord and cooked them and fed his family. There would be nothing to tempt Elisha to leave Elijah's side and return back to the family farm. Elijah was leaving his home, family, and his livelihood, as the disciples also did when they were called by Christ. So, am I telling you to leave all that you have and follow the Lord to somewhere? That if you just trust him enough, he will bless you with great material wealth? That he will give you all you desire, if you just have the right kind of faith? It is tempting to our own sinful nature to hear such a message. We want more, and even when we get something new, we still want more stuff. It's a great sin of our age. I am not talking about material prosperity. I am saying Christ our Lord will care for you, even when you might not see or understand how. Even though you might not like how he does it, he will care for you because you are more valuable than the sparrows that God our Father feeds. Knowing this, we can serve the Lord in our callings where the Lord has placed us. We can serve without fear as children that listen and honor our fathers and mothers, or fathers and mothers who bring up our children in the Christian faith and instruct them in it, or parishioners that support and pray for our pastors, or pastors that show self-control and teach the true historic Christian faith. We can be employees that work as though they were serving the Lord, and employers that treat employees fairly without threatening them, and also giving them time to rest and attend church. We can love and serve our neighbor without having to be burdened by worrying about how we'll survive. We are safe with Christ here in the boat of the church. The God who had sent his own Son, God in the flesh, to die for you on the cross at the hands of both a Jewish mob and Gentile executioners will not forget you and your daily needs, having given so much already. And when we do fail, when we give in to worry about what the day might bring, or even when we're disobedient to our parents, we don't do our job properly, or treat an employee poorly, he forgives us for this. His shed blood on the cross wipes away those sins. He gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink, and sends us out into the world again to love and serve our neighbor. Being in the boat with Christ is the absolute best place for us to be. We are nourished in the sacraments and forgiven for all our sins. The world might appear dark and foreboding, with war and acts of violence around us, attacks on marriage and the family, and the bulk of the church might look like it is sinking. We may start to panic and doubt. But Christ is here, and he tells us, do not fear. For since he conquered death and trampled Satan under his feet, he will keep the ark of the church in his care till kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.